Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanat Anu Satya Sarupam Jagrahe Bhagavat Parshva Vartanam Hitva Kalevaram Tirtehe Gangayam Darshanadhanu Sajat Sarupam Jagrahe Bhagavat Parshva Vartinam.
No one else? Okay.
Hitva, giving up. Kalevaram, the material body. Tirte, in the holy place. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganges. Darshanat Anu, after seeing. Sajaha, immediately. Swarupam, his original spiritual form. Jagrahe, he assumed. Bhagavat Parshvavartinam, which is fit for an associate of the Lord. Okay, so translation. Upon seeing the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil gave up his material body at Haridwara on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, which was a body appropriate for an associate of the Lord. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 9, Janma karma chami divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tvaktva deyam punar janma naiti mam eti sojuna. One who knows the transcendental nature by appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The result of perfection in Krishna consciousness is that after giving up one's material body, one is immediately transferred to the spiritual world in one's original spiritual body to become an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees go to Vaikuntha Loka and others go to Loka Vrindavan to become associates of Krishna. So, Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanadunu Sadyasarupam Jagrake Bhagavat Parshva Vartinam. So, Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is a very interesting story about Ajamil and how he got Krishna's mercy. Of course, we know that Ajamil in his youth was taking up Krishna consciousness. And it's not that his whole life he was actually a debauchee, degraded. But he became degraded due to bad association. So because he had taken up Krishna consciousness in his early life, that Krishna consciousness became a part of his spiritual bank account. You've all heard Prabhupada talk about this before. We have a spiritual bank account, and that bank account is never lost. Swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vaya. That in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. So this is a standard thing we say to people to introduce them to Krishna consciousness. We tell them that whatever you did in the material world, it's lost. Let's say you go to university for many years. And you get so many certificates. And guess what happens at the time of death? Even if they bury you with the certificates, you can't take them with you. Or you may have a big family. Just like I was recently reading about a religious group called the Mormons. And some of them have many wives. There was one man with like 20 wives. Poor guy. So anyway, he had 20 wives. And he had something like, I mean, God knows how many children. And he was just standing there with a, I guess you call it a selfie nowadays, you know, taking a selfie with all of his children, the many generations of his children. And, but, you know, it's all lost at the time of death. So we become very possessive of the things that we attain in this lifetime, not understanding they're all lost. But on the other hand, Krishna consciousness is not lost. So therefore, what is the use, Bhagavatam says, of a prolonged life? It is a life without Krishna consciousness. It is a life like a tree. Because a tree stands for a long time. And the Prabhupada said that there are some trees, of course, that have been standing since Krishna's appearance. Of course, those trees are actually benefited because they're in Vrindavan. And there's trees in the United States, they're called the big, like redwood trees that are thousands and thousands of years ago. What's the use of that? And Bhagavatam says also, what's the use of a life that's like a bellows? Bellows means like a blowing machine they used to make horseshoes in the old days. Because it's just breathing, but it has no benefit. So, of course, the real benefit is Krishna consciousness. So, Ajamil had performed devotional service, and because he had performed devotional service, the Lord arranged for him to be chanting the names of his son, Narayan, when he was getting ready to leave his body. So that was Krishna's special arrangement. And Krishna arranged for the Yamadutas to come to scare him to death, not to death, almost to death, because he was already dead, to scare him so he would take up devotional service. So that's Krishna's special mercy. Of course, that's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Yashaham Anugrinami Harishe Taddanamshanai. When Krishna favors someone, he takes away everything or puts them in a dangerous situation or shocks them to death so they take up Krishna consciousness. You know, he just like pulls the rug, as they say, pulls the rug out from under them. So, uh-oh. So he was already a devotee, and Krishna was the one who arranged for all these things so the Yamadutas would come to shock him. So we see this in the lives of many people, why they become Krishna conscious. Because of some shock. For example, you have the story of Magrari the hunter. And I think most of you know that story. The Magrari the hunter was half killing animals, torturing the animals. And Narada Muni, instead of just preaching philosophy to him, because sometimes we preach philosophy to someone that goes right over the head, he actually showed him a what we call a virtual reality experience of his future had he not changed his way. And that virtual reality was that every single animal that he had killed would get a chance to kill him in the future. And that sort of shocked him. Now, the shock is not enough to make you Krishna conscious, but it could be used as an impetus. That means as a stepping stone. Sometimes people don't use it as a stepping stone. Sometimes people use it if something happens shocking in your life, they just become depressed or angry with Krishna. I've seen that happen. Like sometimes there's a devotee and Krishna arranges for someone to get killed in their family or for them to have an accident or get disabled or some unfortunate circumstance to occur. And as a result of that, they become very bitter and angry. I was worshiping Krishna all these years, and look what he's done to me. You know, they expect some benefit, material benefit, out of worshiping Krishna. Like sometimes people say, well, I've been a brahmachari all these years, And even after being a brahmachari all these years and serving Krishna and going on Sankirtan, I still have no money. You know, where's the retirement benefit? Isn't it? People think like that. But Krishna, the interesting thing is that, as we say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or Krishna is in every atom. Krishna is directing the wanderings of the living entity. So whatever happens to you is for your benefit. Is Krishna directly arranged it? And a devotee who's actually Krishna conscious will see Yo Mam Pashyati Sarvacha. Sarvam Chamayu Pashyati Tashaham Na Pranashyami Sachame Na Pranashyati. He will see Krishna everywhere and everything. And Krishna says that that's 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. He'll see that whatever Krishna is sending is an opportunity, is an arrangement so that I can surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a very important point in our own lives. I mean, this is how to apply this particular verse. Of course, for Jamil, it was quite shocking. And for us, Krishna will arrange different circumstances that will be maybe not quite shocking, but they may be painful just to wake us up. Just like recently, I mean, those of you who are from Slovenia, you know Gargamuni Prabhu. Of course, everybody knows Gargamuni Prabhu. And he was working with me in Fiji. And all of a sudden, he left this world. And so, my natural response, of course, I was unhappy that he had left this world because I was depending on him in so many ways. And devotees develop great affection for him. But my natural response was, wow, this is a wake-up call. Any of us could leave this world at any time, including me. Because we are thinking, at least I'm thinking, honey, honey, bhutani, gachantiya, yamalayam. What is that? The most wonderful thing. I see everybody else die, me no. You know, actually at my age, I know someone who's dying or is dead every week. That may come as a shock to some of you young people who have never seen a dead body. But every week, you know, either I go to a funeral, get a notice, someone is dying, just like this morning, I got a notice that one of my disciples in Germany is in the hospital, she had a heart attack, she's getting ready to leave the body. You don't know her. Her name is Chit Shakti. You know Chit Shakti? Yeah. Anyway, and so I have to call her up and preach to her. I mean, many times I've given initiation to people in the hospital who are getting ready to leave their body. You know, it's the last day. Many times we've had to visit people in the hospice who are getting ready to leave their body and try to counsel them in the right way to leave the body. So all these are different instances to clue me in that one day it's going to be me, but because of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm thinking, not me. Ahani, ahani. That's the statement or the conversation between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Dharmaraj, or Yamaraj. When Yamaraj asks Yudhisthira Maharaj, what is the most wonderful thing? The most wonderful thing is we see everybody else dying. We think everyone else going to Yamaraj, but we think, not me. Me, I will live. I will go to everybody's funeral, but nobody will go to my funeral. This is my consciousness. Anyway, so we should wake up before it's too late. And what do we do when we wake up? We take Krishna consciousness very seriously. That means to engage 24 hours a day in Krishna service and not let our mind slip to any other activity. Because yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajati anti kalevram tongam ivaiti kontiya siddhatat bhavata. That whatever we happen to be thinking of when we leave this body, that's what's going to happen to us. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he wasn't careful. And as a result of that, you know, became a deer in his next life. So we have to be very, very careful. I mean, sometimes devotees criticize me for chanting Hare Krishna while they're driving a car. Just like Baladev here. He drives a car and he teaches me how to chant Hare Krishna purely by his driving. He's an expert instructor in this way. So, you know, just like Baladev will tell you this, when he's driving a car, and every time he goes around a corner, I go, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! So some devotees say, why are you doing that, Maharaj? And I explain that we should develop a habit that when anything happens in this world, we say, Hare Krishna! And by saying Hare Krishna, of course, we're going to be the same as a Jamil saying Narayan, Narayan, and we'll either go back to Krishna or take a birth in a devotee family or have some fortunate birth into the next life. So that's the first point in this verse. Another point, which is very, very interesting, is that Prabhupada says in the verse that, two things actually. After giving up this one's body, one is immediately transferred to the spiritual world in one's original spiritual body to become an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, to unpack that generally, after giving up this body, we go to where Krishna's pastimes are going on, which is non-different from the spiritual world. According to your particular ras, or your particular relationship, you go to particular pastimes. The Lord's pastimes are called Nitya Leela because they're always taking place. Prabhupada describes it's like a routine spool. Sometimes Lord Rama's appearing in some universe, sometimes Krishna's appearing in some universe, sometimes Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill in some universe, and Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill in another universe. It's always going on. So the first thing that happens is after you become Krishna conscious, which is pretty difficult anyway, completely Krishna conscious, anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navartam anukuyena krishnada shilanam, without any ulterior motive, then you go to where Krishna's pastimes to get trained up. And then in the next life, you go back to the spiritual world. Now, everyone has a different relationship with Krishna. I mean, sometimes people say that everybody who's a member of the Krishna consciousness movement is a gopi. That would be nice. Sometimes people say that to follow Lord Chaitanya means that you're going to be a gopi because Lord Chaitanya came to teach conjugal love. So everybody must be a gopi in the Hare Krishna movement. Well, that's not actually true. You see, many of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, such as Murari Gupta and others, and Anupama, the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were devotees of Lord Ram. And even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to convince Murari Gupta, who happened to be an incarnation of Hanuman, to simply chant Hare Krishna, Murari Gupta was not able to do that because of his affection for Lord Ram. Same thing happened with the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, Anupama. So many of us will not be gopis. I hate to break that to you. So what does it mean that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down to teach about the mood of worshipping Krishna, the mood of the gopis, it means that everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is ultimately serving Krishna and Radharani, who are actually that relationship is in the conjugal ras. So everyone is assisting the conjugal ras in the spiritual world, in whatever their situation. So it's not that everybody is a gopi. And people have a specific relationship that is already there, like Prabhupada comments, their original spiritual form. It's very interesting. Sva rupam. So they have original spiritual form that simply has to be realized. In other words, you and each and every one of these devotees here, and each and every one of the non-devotees too, has an original spiritual form, and you don't know what it is right now. That's amazing. Jai, Shishi Radhagalokananda. I mean, Radhagalokananda. Shishi Panchatattva. That's interesting. Radhagalokananda, Panchatattva, Shishi Gornatai, Kijai. So we all have an original spiritual form, and we don't know what it is. And so it's a question of remembering our original spiritual form. That's Krishna consciousness. It's not a question of learning something new, but uncovering, as we hear from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers, the Shikshashtaka, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahad Bhagni Nirvarpanam, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, we are cleansing the mirror of the mind or the mirror of the heart so we can understand and see who we actually are. And as the Bhagavad Gita also says, that when one becomes Krishna conscious, it's like the rising of the sun in the morning. Did you gradually perceive the different features of this world? I mean, first you just see the shadows, then after a while you see the forms, and after a while you see black and white stuff, and after a while you see color stuff, and everything makes sense. So that's Krishna consciousness. Everything becomes revealed automatically by the process of Krishna consciousness. And as Prabhupada taught us, we don't jump up and try to understand what our spiritual form is prematurely. We don't speculate. We don't think that this is my spiritual form. I must be a coward boy. I must be a gopi. I must be a tree. I must be a cow, whatever it is. I mean, does anyone here want to become a tree in Goloka Vrindavan? I'd be happy to be a tree in Goloka Vrindavan. Uddhava, he prays to become like the blades of grass or the dust in Vrindavan so the gopis will step on it. So we project our material understanding upon the spiritual realm and we think, oh, I don't want to be a tree. Just like one time, one devotee was getting ready to take initiation. She said, I want a very sexy name. So instead I said, I'll call you Bhumi, a cow. I didn't actually give her that name, but she said, you know, I want a real, because I want a name of a gopi. So oftentimes devotees think that they've understood their spiritual form, their spiritual body, when they haven't actually come to the right platform of devotional service. There's different stages in devotional service. One has to deal, first of all, with the anartas and become steady or nishta in devotional service. And then when you're nishta, you'll get a glimpse of who you are in the spiritual world. And then when you get a glimpse of who you are in the spiritual world, then you can begin to engage in internal meditation on that, but not until then, not until after you've dealt with the anartas, the lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, kamakrodha, madamatsarya, etc. First of all, you have to deal with that. And that's the process of devotion. So really, Srila Prabhupada said, deserve and then desire. So that is what Srila Prabhupada taught us. So this is what the future holds for us. If we continue in Krishna consciousness, chanting, serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, then ultimately everything will be revealed to us, our spiritual form. And ultimately we will take part in Krishna's pastimes. So we'll keep it short. Any questions or comments? Yes. He's a tree in the spiritual world? How do you know? Ah, that's nice. Gaura Ganadesh Deepika. So, there's nothing wrong with being a tree in the spiritual world. He's a bird, Shuka, yeah. I would just like to be Prabhupada's eternal servant. Isn't it? Mama Janmani, Janmani Shure, Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoita Gitwaye. Yes, you have a question?
You're speaking about when someone speculates about their spiritual form and or takes some, what happened when they do that to their advancement, to the path in Krishna consciousness.
Well, that's actually called sahajism. What happens then is they sort of project their material understanding upon the spiritual world, and they may neglect, actually Prabhupada said, in most cases, they will neglect their service to their spiritual master. Prabhupada, I was in Los Angeles with Prabhupada many, many years ago when there was this one group of devotees. They were called the Gopi Baba Club. And they would sing as their theme song. Yeah, they would meet every night, men and women. And they would sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada as their theme song. You know, it was just like, and then they would all consider themselves to be gopis. It was interesting. Of course, the men did not wear saris. There was a group of sahajas in India who do where the men do wear saris and everything like that. And some of you may have seen that. And those gopis are extremely ugly. You know, the men who wear saris because they have a beard, you know. Don't look good. They put lipstick on and everything. So Prabhupada got extremely angry when he heard about this. And he said, instead of getting purified, because they were reading from Prabhupada's books, but reading exclusively from the portions of Srila Prabhupada's books that dealt with Radha Krishna conjugal loving affairs. And Prabhupada said, instead of getting purified, they're getting putrefied. Does everybody understand that putrefied means they're rotting? And Prabhupada said, this will stop the preaching mission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission. Because people consider themselves so advanced, they will engage in something called nirjana bhajan. Now, the word nirjana means without people. You understand? Nirjana bhajan. So they will think they're engaged in turtle in their relationship with Krishna, and they don't have to associate with devotees, and they don't have to preach Krishna consciousness, and their whole Krishna consciousness will become spoiled as a result of that. Prabhupada wrote a very interesting prayer called Vrindavan Bhajan. Anyone's heard of this prayer before? Vrindavan Bhajan is a prayer in which Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan, and he was basically criticizing devotees who would just sit and chant and not carry out Lord Chaitanya's mission. He said, these devotees, I'm quoting Prabhupada, they're simply eating the mind's bananas. That's interesting. Let's see. Comiendo las bananas del mente. Actually, in Venezuela, bananas are cambores. Anyway, whatever. So that means they're eating the mind's bananas. In other words, they're just crazy. You know, like in English, if we say someone is bananas, that means they're crazy. That's a polite way of saying you're crazy. You're bananas. So, so I mean, that was Prabhupada's comment. You know, everyone should read this this Vrindavan Bhajan. It's a very wonderful prayer where Prabhupada actually gives us our mission, how to become Krishna conscious, how to realize our spiritual identity. Prabhupada said that those who preach Krishna consciousness, specifically Prabhupada was referring to the book distributors, they're doing their activity, if they have the right consciousness, in the mood of the gopis. Prabhupada revealed that in a letter to Ramaswar one time. This preaching of Krishna consciousness is in the mood of the gopis. Now, what is the mood of the gopis? The mood of the gopis is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the last verse of the Shikshashika. That Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He actually says, you may be a debauchee. You're completely free to do anything and everything and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that's the mood, not only of the gopis, but basically of everybody in Goloka Vrindavan. Unalloyed service to Krishna. Sometimes people depict the spiritual world as an eternal version of the heavenly planets. You know, that people become attracted to the spiritual world because there's desire trees there. You can get anything you want. There's surabhi cows. You can get anything you want. You can get yogurt, milk, pizza. It's like, I mean, it's like the heavenly planets. People think the spiritual world's like the heavenly planets, just a better form of sense gratification. But that's not the spiritual world. The spiritual world is a place where everybody's immersed in giving Krishna pleasure. And your own pleasure is considered inconsequential. In fact, the gopis pray in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, last chapter, the gopis pray that if our unhappiness is your happiness, Krishna, then our unhappiness is our happiness. It's hard to understand that. In other words, what our identity is to give you happiness, Krishna, even if that makes us miserable. So we should think, that's the goal. Of course, right now we say, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. That's our marketing phrase. But if we said, chant Hare Krishna, and ultimately, even if you're miserable, at least God is happy, nobody would join the movement. Imagine if we said that to people. Join our movement. Make God happy. And it doesn't matter if you're miserable. Who cares? You're meant to make him happy. No, that's not the right way to market Krishna consciousness. Like, we can market in different ways. What is it? Stay high forever, like Prabhupada used. Stay high forever. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But ultimately, the gopis are not thinking, serve Krishna, be happy. You're generally, in this world, with mundane altruism, that means mundane charity and everything like that, people do things because it makes them happy. That's in the mode of goodness. Material world, mode of goodness, means that if someone is very charitable, someone is very nice, someone who helps people, they're doing it because it makes them feel good. And that's normal. Actually, even animals have that particular propensity sometimes. For example, I was giving a seminar and citing the example of a whale. Everybody's heard of a whale? It's a big, it's not a fish. It's a big animal that lives in the water. So the whale one time, once upon a time, this is a whale story. It's not from the Bible, don't worry. It's not Jonah's whale. So once upon a time, there was a lady who was skin diving. You know what skin diving is? Anyway, she was diving in the water, looking at the fish, like people do. Actually, if you do that all the time, you'll become a fish in your next life. So anyway, she was skin diving, and this big, gigantic whale, as big as a building, came and started pushing her and pushing her. And the whale put this lady under his fin. The fin means, like, you know, the things that flap on the side of the whale. Not flap, but anyway. Like a bird. Whales don't fly. So the lady was under, you know, she was thinking, I'm going to die. This whale is going to kill me. Because it's a big whale. What can you do? You can't fight with a big whale. So eventually she escapes and gets out of the water, and she discovers the whale was pushing her out of the way of sharks. It was protecting her. So that, I mean, that's nice. That's nice. People do have that propensity because it gives them happiness in this world. That's mundane help. And we should do that too. And we should help people. I'm not denying that. We should be in the mode of goodness. However, in the spiritual world, people are doing things not because it makes them feel good, but they're doing things because it makes Krishna feel good. That's a very high platform, isn't it? So right now, do things because it makes you feel good. Don't worry about the high platform. But understand, that's the goal of Krishna consciousness. And that's the ticket to go back to the spiritual world. As long as we have any self-centered desire, even a desire for material, a spiritual happiness, you can't go back to the spiritual world. What do you think? Frightening? Is anyone frightened by that? Depressed? Discouraged? Don't worry. Because it'll happen if you simply serve. That's all. If you try to give up your desires, self-centeredness, simply by a adjustment of the mind, it's not going to work. Anything you try to give up, you'll get more attached to. It's not that it doesn't work. You know, if I say to a devotee, don't be attached to eating. For example, many times I give devotees advice on diet. Well, I used to, because I ended up with a lot of enemies. But anyway, many times, you know, I try to help devotees have better health. Just makes them angry. I said, don't eat so many sweets. Ah. So, it doesn't work. You have to let people have their own realizations and have to let people grow naturally. It's just like a child. A child has to grow naturally. You can't say to a 2-year-old child, when are you going to the university? When are you going to get married? You know, when are you going to get a job? You're eating too much. I mean, and you give the poor child a trauma. He'll have post-traumatic stress when he gets older. Just like I've seen, sometimes the parents with the children, the Krishna-conscious parents, they force the children to do, you know, chant 16 rounds when they're 6 months old. The poor child, that's diapers, you know, you just give the child some beads. Parents have these high expectations. They think that when the children are saying papa, they're saying Prabhupada. Isn't it? I mean, it's really an illusion. So, when you can't force someone to grow up. In the same way you can't force Krishna consciousness. It has to happen just by serving. And then one day, Krishna will reveal things to you. And one day, you'll simply love Krishna so much that you'll simply want to serve him. One day, you'll simply go back to Godhead. That's called Ashabandha. Ashabandha means hope against hope. We know, even though I have no taste for chanting, even though I have no desire to become free from desires. That's interesting. Then one day Krishna will take me because I'm engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes. Oh, ooh, so many questions here.
It is said that we are actually already in the Gaura Lila, right? So these are the pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah.
So my question is,
your body is already in Gauranga Lila. Now you have to put your mind in it, too.
Yeah. So, is this already a train? We are already getting trained up for entering into at least now.
Yeah, but you still have to take birth wherever Krishna or Lord Chaitanya is having their pastimes, yeah.
Like this.
You still have to. That's not a problem. Some devotees complain, why do I have to take birth wherever Krishna is having his pastimes? You know, why can't I go right back to the spiritual world? I get that question all the time. You know, why do I have to take birth in the material world wherever Krishna is having his pastimes? Well, that's just as good as the spiritual world. Right? No problem. I wouldn't mind. Would you? Okay, good. Okay, we got another question back there? Let's see.
Dice que hay que tener la audiencia de deseo intenso por obtener a Krishna. Se puede explicar como dice que no hay que tener deseos espirituales.
So Rupa Goswami says that in Nectar Devotion that one must have a laudium for Krishna.
Yeah.
And then he's saying, compared to what you were saying, that not having desires of spiritual enjoyment or spiritual,
yeah. Yeah. We should have lolium to please Krishna. Not lolium that I want to taste the milk from the desire cows. Lolium to become a pure devotee. Lolium to render some service to my spiritual master. And lolium to be Krishna conscious. But we have to understand what Krishna consciousness means. Anyabhi lashita shunyam. Jnana karma navratam. Anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Bhakti rutamam. Which means, basically, no other desire, subtle or gross, other than serving Krishna. I mean, that's real happiness. Ultimately, you know, we talk about, you know, if Krishna wants me to be miserable, that's my happiness. But ultimately, real happiness is connection with Krishna and giving Krishna happiness. Stop, Jan? Yeah.
Cuando comentó de sobre la muerte, que hay una devota que está dejando el cuerpo, ¿no? ¿Se nos puede explicar un poquito ese detalle tan fuerte de la ilusión de olvidar que también vamos a morir, ¿no?
Regarding this devotee, you were saying, your disciple, that it's leaving the body, and if you could expand, oh no, that it's had this heart attack in Germany, and she's. And he's saying, if you could explain a little bit more on this illusion that we keep thinking again and again that it's not going to happen to us.
Well, that's illusion. I don't know if I can. I'm not Durga. I can't really explain how she works. But that's an illusion. I and mine. You know, my body. This is me. You know, we can talk all we want that we're not our body, but when it comes time. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was just in a hospital having an operation. And I felt like I was the body, even though I knew it wasn't the body. So if you want to realize you're not the body, realize that you're a servant of Krishna. The only way to become detached from this body is to become attached to your spiritual identity as servant of Krishna. We can keep repeating over and over and over again, you're not the body, but it's not going to help you realize it. You will realize that you're not the body when you realize what you are. You understand? You can't realize what you're not. That's impossible. How can you realize something you're not? Right? I mean, realize that you're not something that you're not. That's a double negative. You have to realize you're not something that you're not. Do you understand? How do you realize that? You have to realize what you are. I'm a servant of Krishna. Now, first of all, we realize that we're servants of the spirit of our spiritual master, servants of Srila Prabhupada. And then we're servants, Gopi Bharata Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasa Dasa, servants of a servants of a servants of the Lord who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. And that's the way we give up Sarvapadi Vinera Bhuktam, Tat Puratvena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. We give up all these upadis or designations. You question? Thank you.
You mentioned about parents and sons.
Yeah.
As a parent, sometimes we have difficulties because if you push too much, sometimes it's too much. Sometimes you, and that happens in all areas of devotional life. Like sometimes you have a desire of serving Krishna on your own project or idea, and then you neglect the bodies that surround you because you are focusing your own project.
Talking about neglect the children or something? What are you talking about?
Yeah, children
or the other devotees.
Or the bodies. So you have any tip?
How
to balance, if it's possible, how to balance or how to get to understanding which is proper and which is not, because sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes even you ask the bodies and the bodies give you three different ideas, you know. So sometimes it's difficult to find what's the correct thing to do in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that would be the question.
Well, the first thing is In order to encourage devotees, because your question had many parts to it, in order to encourage devotees, it's best to set a good example of service yourself. Like we find devotees or children, you talk about parents with children, that people function, are inspired by role models more than anything else. Like if we want children to be Krishna conscious, we have to give them good role models, good examples. Krishna, like Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas tatat evetaro janaha. So rather than pushing people to do things, we should pull them by attraction. And then people will be enthusiastic when they do things. Second thing is, if people have different opinions about different things, how do you deal with it?
Clarify something about your own service. Sometimes you get different advices, you know, and sometimes are the opposite, you know. So how to find what to do when you are confused? Sometimes it's difficult.
Well, you flip a coin. heads I win, tails you lose. Anyway, in our own devotional service, we need to take shelter of more advanced devotees. And guhyamakyati prichati. So we need to have more advanced devotees whom we can take shelter and advice from, like that, and who can facilitate us in making a decision. But generally, when a more advanced devotee is giving advice, they're not going to tell you what to do. They're going to help you understand what is the best thing for you. It's more of a facilitation. You know, if someone is always telling us what to do, we lose our own sense of judgment. And it's like being in an institution that after a while you forget how to tie your own shoes because someone is tying it. You know, it's like that's one of the dangers of being a guru, that someone always ties your shoes, you know, or feeds you and you forget how to hold the spoon. So, in the same way, if someone's always telling us what to do, then we actually lose the ability to discriminate. So ultimately, it's our decision. Any other questions? One other question, yeah. Nithaitaya.
How can I believe in something that I can't understand? Or how can I have faith in something that I can't understand?
You should not have faith in something you don't understand. You should try to understand. At least through intelligence, Buddha yoga. Why? Who is asking you to have faith in something you don't understand?
For example, I need to accept that spiritual body exists, but I don't understand that.
You don't know. Thank you for your music. Do you mean understand or realize? There's two different words. If you don't have faith in that, then at least have faith in the person who's telling you that. Yasya devi pura bhaktir yata devi tita kuru tashaite katitari arta prakashante mahatmana. So at least have faith in guru and Vedic literatures. What?
This level of faith needs time.
Yes, it needs time. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sango ta bhajana kriya. So in the beginning, there's a little interest. But how does faith grow? By realization. So if one has firm faith in Krishna and the Vedic literatures and the spiritual master, then everything's revealed. But because we don't have faith, so much faith, shradana purusha dharmashasha parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityusam saravarmani, right? Because we don't have faith, then we'll return to the this material world. So the faith comes from performing devotional service, getting the reciprocation from Krishna. Gradually the faith increases. It also comes from observing those who have faith, those who are Krishna conscious. But it takes time. For the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this world or the next. So, yeah, it's good to be honest. If one doesn't have complete faith, I mean, if we had complete faith, we'd realize Krishna right now. So the real lack is the lack of faith, trust. So, I think we should end now because it's time for I Have Faith in Prasadam. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.